Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind, and he went. The man came to the other son, gave him the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here we go. This is a hard sermon. It's all true, of course, but it's a difficult one for me to give. Today is Respect Life Sunday, as you know. This is probably the greatest pro-life experience I've ever had. And so I'll tell you. 2 Corinthians Chapter 4, verse 7 reads, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. What I read you now is a story of God using a clay jar to shine his light through its broken cracks. You see, for 2 years, I did live as a captioned Franciscan in a monastery in Harmon, Pennsylvania. And there I met an older friar, and I so admired him. I really admired him. He was so kind. He was so gentle. I never saw him become angry. I never heard him raise his voice. And in fact, he wouldn't even kill insects. You know, I see a spider, I go, "It's a spider." You know, he would never do that. This man, truly, I wanted to imitate him. And I told him, I said, I'd like to be more like you. He replied, "You wouldn't if you knew my past." And Brother Jim shared with me his life story. When it was over, I mean, you'd have to pick my jaw off the floor. I was floored by what came out of his mouth. He was not always the gentle man that I thought he was and came to know. Before becoming a friar, Jim Townsend was his name. Oh, he got in the fights. He stole money as a child. At 14, he entered the Marines for World War II. His dad just wanted to kind of get rid of him and signed a paper that he gave permission to send him to the Marines. And I think he lied about his age. 14's a little bit young there, but the dad just said, take him, you know. He was a problem child. And so he went to the Marines in World War II, and Immediately, he was court-martialed for hitting an officer. Ooh. That's not so gentle, is it? And then he was sent to juvenile detention. Remember, he's only 14 years old. And he was there for assault and battery in another case. At 19, he married a girl named Alice. He met her in the hospital because for a while he was a janitor in a hospital. And he met her, they dated, they married, and then right away she was pregnant with twins. During this time, Jim drank heavily. It turned him into a mean drunk, filled with rage and jealousy. He hit bottom on November 13th, 1947. He came home drunk from an all-day bender. Alice told him, "You either stop drinking or I'm leaving." And Jim gave his answer. He grabbed his deer rifle, walked into the kitchen, and shot her dead. Wow. He was sentenced to life in prison. And it was in prison where God revealed himself, turning Jim's life from tragedy to triumph. While in prison, he met a Franciscan friar, Father Richard. And Father Richard brought him God's mercy and love, even after this terrible thing that he did. And Jim shared with the priest his deep sorrow for killing his wife. He did love her. He said, "I loved her." But he drank so much that day, he went into a blackout. And I remember Jim telling me that all I remember, I'm holding a rifle, there's blood on the floor, and she's laying on the floor, and I really wasn't even sure why, because of the blackout. And so he was tormented for years. Because remember, inside of his wife were the twins. Those twins hadn't been born yet. And so he was tormented with dreams. Dreams of these two kids, and they were girls. And these two girls would come to him in his dream. And they would ask, "Daddy, why did you do this to us? Why did you do this?" Night after night, Jim said, "I had these dreams of these two girls." He said, "That's how I knew that I would have had girls if they could have been born, if I didn't kill their mother." And it took Father Richard years, several years, to convince Jim that God forgives even the greatest sin. Your greatest sin can be forgiven by God's mercy. All you have to do is ask and want it. Took him a long time to convince Jim that he's forgiven. He served 20 years, and Jim was paroled for good behavior. He petitioned to join the Franciscans, and they accepted him when he was 45 years old in 1972. That's when I was there, 21 years old. On the night before he was received into the Franciscan order, the dreams of the two little girls came to an end. They stopped. And the last dream showed them smiling. And they said, "We forgive you, Daddy." And that was the last dream of the girls that he ever had. They were smiling. We forgive you. Brother Jim told me, "That's how I knew the twins were girls, and that they forgave me in the last dream." Brother Jim would spend 40 years devoting his life to the cause of pro-life. He was uniquely qualified by this testimony of his own life. When Jim appeared for his arraignment, back in 1947, he was charged not with one murder, but with three. He was charged with three murders when he was arraigned in court. Therefore, the court considered those pre-born children, his twins, in his wife's womb, as human persons. That's the key. The court of the United States of America considered those twins human persons with the constitutional rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Jim remarked to me, I remember this conversation, he said to me, then how can abortion be legal when other preborn children have the same right to life as did my twins? He asked, why did the court consider my twins as human persons when I committed a crime against them, but not give the rights of a human person to a child during an abortion? It doesn't make sense. I'll give you an example, another example. About 10 years ago, there was road rage up there on 275. And in this anger, this lady drove another lady off the road on 275. The victim of that road rage was with child, and she lost the child. The woman who perpetrated the road rage was sent to court and sent to jail. But think of this, that same mother with his child, if she decided, well, I'm going to have an abortion, that would be okay. There would be no charges against her. You see? The one who committed the crime, the baby's a person. The mother who wants to abort a child, the baby's just a fetus. How could that change? The baby was a human person inside the womb. Inside. And then Jim, he had a question. And his question screams to be answered today. What about the rights of the baby? What about the rights of the child in the womb? They are human persons too. They're human persons. They have inalienable rights. What's an inalienable, inalienable right? Try saying that three times. What's an inalienable right? Well, it's a God-given right. And the inalienable right, first and foremost, is to survive. You have a right to live. You have a right to live, to survive. This right cannot be renounced, cannot be changed, cannot be given away or denied. Brother Jim Townsend went to the arms of his father on June 12, 2011, at the age of 84. He's buried at the Friar's Plot at St. Mary Church in Herman, Pennsylvania. When I go up to Pittsburgh for my Bela Lugosi Film Festival, I always stop by his grave. I've done that for 20 years. Stop by his grave. Well, not quite 20. It'd be more like probably 12 years. And I have visited his grave several times. And God used this broken earthen vessel, a criminal, who took three lives to affirm the dignity of every human life, every human person. That's where I first learned about pro-life, from Brother Jim, way back in 1972. I mean, he lived life, even though he took life, but he helped others not to do that. Now, listen, I'm not a dummy, I think, but I'm not Pollyannish. The abortion issue is difficult for some people because, you know, we never know what they're exactly dealing with, especially in the medical realm. And I guess each one has to be looked at in the when you're dealing with medicine and doctors. And so the reason why I say this, we must never judge anyone who's had an abortion. We must never judge, because to do so is blasphemy. Only God can judge the worthiness of a soul. Only God can do that. I mean, it's really easy to judge others in this whole abortion issue. If you vote yes on issue one, you're going to go to hell. Well, we can't make that judgment. We don't have the right, because we're not God. Only God could do that. But yet I do pray that issue one will be defeated. There'll be no, because I desperately would love to see these children survive. I worked for 27 years at Children's Hospital, and I saw kids give their last amount of energy, their last whatever was in them to survive, their desire. I've seen them fight so hard, but they died. And then it just abhors me that here's a baby that has its whole life ahead, but then is destroyed in abortion. You know, that they're not given that chance to live. So it is a very important issue that we have to cooperate with God in the survival of a child's life. But that's not all. What happens when the child is born? We also have to work to protect the survival of the child, do we not? Shouldn't the child have enough food? Shouldn't the child have clothing? I used to see these kids go to St. Mary's School when it was open, and they were poor kids, and they would come there with no lunch because their parents couldn't get them a lunch, couldn't either pay for it or make it. So we'd just give away free lunches to these kids. But when school was closed in the summer, these kids didn't get enough food. I know they didn't. We'd see them at the St. Vincent de Paul. So a kid has a right to survive by eating, by properly being protected. A kid has a right to go to school and not have its head blown off, you know? A kid has a right to go to school and not be shot in gun violence. We have to do something about the gun violence. I don't know what, but we have to do something. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. We got to do something to protect our children going to school. There's been over 280 massacres in this country since January 1st. 280 across the country of mass shootings. Wow. So we have to also protect them against abuse of any type, sexual, emotional, physical. I'd see these kids come in, the children's, who are abused by family members. That was gut-wrenching. And I remember one kid who was abused, and the kid looked at me and said, "What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?" I said, "Nothing, honey." So we must protect our children from all abuse, protect them from gun violence. Think of this too. You know, in Ukraine, where we have the big war going on against the Russians, 3 million children have been abducted, have been kidnapped and taken to Russia. 3 million children have been separated from their moms and their dads and taken away. We need to you know, think of things like that too. So my brothers and sisters, this is Pro-Life Sunday. It's a very serious time, a very serious time. And I'll try to shut up and not ramble, but this is an important issue. So I ask you, please vote no on issue one and allow a child to survive, to live. And I pray that all children who are born will be able to thrive. We ask this in faith and in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.